This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas. The softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Gone! Second homer of the night from Jackson Churiel.
Tigers win, they're moving on.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
The Royals are going to advance.
The game is over and it's on to Los Angeles.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, Boston College head coach Bill O'Brien, Kings forward Domantas Sabonis, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome into a Rich Eisenless edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am Tom Pelissero, happy to be back in studio with the fellas. Yay! What's going on, Tom?
Let's go.
Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, TJ Jefferson. Woo. All in the house.
Yeah. The Mets, no, good yesterday.
Yeah, how are we doing over there in Mets land?
That's it. Today's the day.
Why are you wearing your Mets hat? Like the last 2 days, you're wearing Mets hats.
Because they lost yesterday. He's trying to turn the tide.
I was late getting over here. I didn't have time to properly get
all right.
All right. I see. You know,
normally,
Rich
talks for 5 minutes before he comes to us. I'm not used to having a camera. Be honest, this fast, so I wasn't.
You weren't ready.
You weren't ready. Yet.
Yeah, we were recording the Insiders, the Monday edition that's on YouTube via the NFL's channel, and it was in the ninth inning of that wild first game in the Mets Braves playoff, basically the made up doubleheader. So it's in like the eighth inning. That was the back and forth. It's 3-0, then it's 6-3, and then the Mets roar all the way back.
Crazy game.
And literally, like, we're 5 minutes into the show, and all of a sudden, Rappaport just screams and walks off camera going, yeah! You could hear him down the hall, yeah! I live in Minnesota, where they decided the season ended about mid-August this year, and the playoff probability went from 90% to 0% over the course of time. I agreed to come in and fill in for Rich, who's over there in... is he already in London, or he's en route?
Do we know he's already there. Yeah,
he's already there. Yeah.
Judging from the text he sent me at 4:17 a.m., I'm going to say yes.
I mean, what are we doing?
He doesn't need any extra encouragement to do that. But he'll be doing the game, calling the game on Sunday, Vikings-Jets. We'll talk about that. Sam Darnold, revenge game. This is like this is like Ghosts of Rich Past. Right there. It's Sam Darnold now playing like he thought Sam Darnold was going to play in 2018 for a different team.
Adam Gase had other ideas.
I don't blame Adam Gase on that. We can get into that one, a little bit more. But Sam Darnold's not in the perfect spot.
A Gase truther, huh?
You get some great... Listen, Adam Gase, he won a lot of games.
I don't want to derail you, Tom.
Adam Gase won a lot of games in Miami with a lot of challenges. Uh-huh. If Ryan Tannehill doesn't have the partially torn ACL that he re-tears all the way and they have to bring in Jay Cutler,
Cutler was good that year, though.
That was my first year at NFL Network.
Okay.
We did not have a Miami-based reporter at that time, and so I was down there on like the third day of camp.
Where was Cameron Wolf?
He had not yet arrived. Okay. Darlington had left a year or two before. And I interviewed Tannehill on like the second, third day of camp, and he's got the huge knee brace on. It's like his whole leg. He's going, yeah, but I feel good and rehabbed hard and really excited about this team. I leave town the next day. Tears the ACL the rest of the way, season-ending surgery. I then get put in Miami for basically all of camp, the preseason opener, because that's Cutler. I'm standing by the side of the field doing play-by-play as like the plane. We cannot say for sure if that's the plane that Jay Cutler's on. It's fine if you know where their old practice facility was. It was right by the Fort Lauderdale airport. Those are, you know, and then I had the tweet that still pops up about once a month in my Instagram feed where I said Jay Cutler has passed his physical and now is officially a Dolphin.
Yep.
To which somebody replied, if football didn't exist, this would be a way cooler tweet. And that was an all-time viral thing. That's still, people send me that to this day.
No way.
Because it will pop back up. Some one of those meme accounts will pop up. And maybe Antonio Pierce accidentally likes it somewhere along the way.
I've done that.
Okay. I'm not blaming Antonio Pierce. I'm not taking a shot at him. Like, there are so many times everyone will send me. Do you have friends who communicate solely via the DMs?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You could text me a link or you could DM me over and over and over again. And I've got like a handful of people who communicate predominantly. They can call me. Pick up the phone, call me, text me.
Send you a gift, bro.
They'd rather send me the third slide in something from the NFL memes account.
Look, there's 20 pictures here. Go to the fifth one.
And I've done it where it's like, it's something making fun of, you know, fill in the blank, Zach Wilson, whatever it is. And like, I'll be, you know, all right, scrolling past it. I accidentally like it. I'm like, oh, I got to unlike that in case anybody sees my name pop up.
Because the thing,
and I'm not a head football coach in the NFL.
That's
so the stakes slightly higher. No, that's just one reason that something that was probably always going to happen with Davante Adams looking at potentially moving on, maybe to the New York Jets, now becomes accelerated into the public view a good month ahead of the trade deadline, which is what I was getting at, which was when I agreed to come in and do these shows, I'm doing the calculation, right? Mm. It's my primary job at NFL Network, hosting the insiders, tracking the news. And I'm like, all right, it's first week of October. You sometimes might have, you know, there's some hot seat stuff that might happen early. There's sometimes a coach who gets fired in the early stages. There wasn't last year.
There are some simmering seats right now, Tom.
I wouldn't say simmering. I mean, Jacksonville's got work to do, right? To they're 0-4. I don't think that they're bad. Everybody's impression was the week three game.
They should be 2-2
in Buffalo, which was terrible. If not 3-1, they blew the first two games.
Right. They had Houston beat last week.
Correct. And Trevor Lawrence misses two wide open receivers in the end zone. I don't blame. I know that there was a lot of focus on Doug Peterson's comments and, you know, saying like, hey, we coaches can't go out there and make the plays. But if you watch the game last week, he's right. There's two wide open dudes.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence hasn't been the worst quarterback in the NFL, but he might be the most disappointing player in the NFL.
I think that's fair.
Through the early portion of the season here. Yeah. When you pay the guy $55 million, even after he and the entire team collapsed on the stretch last season, you're expecting him to take a leap forward, not be one of the reasons you're not winning. It's not all on him. Travis Etienne had that fumble on the goal line early in the season that was a big factor in them losing a game. The defense in the first halves of games hasn't been able to get off the field.
Yeah.
But like when Doug Peterson goes and gives an honest answer, I kind of appreciate it because he's right. I don't think that anybody, including Press Taylor, is going to say, you know, that they're doing a perfect job right now. Mm. But the idea that this is just, you know, you switch up the play caller and everything will be fixed, that's tricky. But I thought, you know, taking this shift, I'm like, well, what could possibly be going on? And then here we are in the past couple of days and an Instagram right. like and a conversation and a million reports later.
Love it.
We're talking about Davante Adams. We'll get to that a little bit more later. We had great revenge games this week, including Sam Darnold v. Jets. We got Stephon Diggs v. Buffalo Bills, which I think is a lot of fun. I was there. I talked to Diggs before the game in Minnesota. I think that one's kind of, it's worn off, right? You know, the entire revenge aspect of it. It's been like 5 years. He wanted out of there. Buffalo's a little different. He was probably ready to move on, but at the same time, it's still fresh, and this is the first time you're going up against a team that went, you know what? We think we're good with Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid and eventually Keon Coleman. We can do this.
At the higher register.
So that'll be fun. It starts out tonight.
Yep.
We got Buccaneers, Falcons. The Buccaneers, who might be the single most, and I hate to use this term because it's like an overused cliche, but the single most disrespected team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They win the division every year. They have been impressive through the early portion of this campaign. Did not play well in week three, right. And they ran into just kind of the perfect storm of a motivated team that needed to go in there and get a win. But they're, you know, Todd Bowles does a great job with that defense. And Baker Mayfield's playing at a pretty good level. With the Falcons, they are still one of the biggest mysteries to me in the NFL. Because they've won a couple of solid wins. They go into Philadelphia. If Saquon catches a pass on a third down. We're not talking about that being a victory for Atlanta, but they found a way. Cousins leads a really impressive two-minute drive. It's something he's done really well. And then last week, you know, they get a good, solid division win. Dennis Allen, the Saints coach, says after the game, that's one of those ones that rips your heart out. But, like, it's not pretty. And offensively, as much as we talked about, boy, it's Cousins coming in, going to finally get the most out of Bijan and Kyle Pitts and Drake London. They bring in Darnell Mooney. Nobody's sitting back right now and going, man, they've lit it up. And I don't think people should be surprised by that. You got a 36-year-old quarterback who's coming off a torn Achilles. He got a lot better from week one to week two. And again, that two-minute drill is exactly what you expect from Kirk Cousins, because he has been really good in those situations. At the same time, Saquon catches the ball on third down. We're sitting there talking about Atlanta's 0-2 and the offense hasn't looked good. You take advantage of the opportunities. I'm taking nothing away from the Falcons. But there, you look at the rankings right now. You look at Bijan's stats. You look at Kyle Pitts' stats that there really aren't any to look at right now. There's still a lot of question marks. This feels, I think it's way too early to say must win, but I would say this. The Atlanta Falcons and their fans, who have not necessarily seen a juggernaut that they might have anticipated, at home in Atlanta, it's going to be rocking on a Thursday night. You know, it's going to be a party in the streets outside the stadium like it always is. It's going to feel a lot different if they're waking up tomorrow morning, 3-2, tied for the division lead, going into a mini bye, versus being 2-3, coming off of a home loss and being two games back in the division. We'll get into that. We'll get into a lot more of Week 5 in the NFL as this edition of the Rich Eisen Show rolls on with me, Tom Pelissero. Coming up after this, a guy who probably liked watching what the Broncos did last week against the Jets. How can you not, as a running back, love getting a win when you throw for 60 yards? Terrell Davis, one of the best to ever do it. Join us right after this on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Ed, swap spots.
Go
out there with Rod. It's like the Ravens
back in the day.
I'm gonna high point this. Okay. Here I go. I'm gonna high point this. Kurt Warner.
You ready?
He's going to take you both down. Right.
This is going to end.
That's not even mic'd up.
All right.
What is this?
This is going to end bad.
I'm getting this.
All right. Go. Come on.
Are you running around?
He's going up. Oh!
The ball's
fine,
man. Like,
Jay,
did that just turn into an interception?
Because Rich tipped the receiver, right though.
No, no.
That goes on your
receiver. Come on, away from these guys as much as possible.
Wait, don't forget it. Here we go.
That goes on your record.
Here we go. They don't know what to do.
So you got
to
beat them both. You got to beat the jam, and then you got to beat
Edwin. I'm going to beat Bob Woodson off the jam, and I'm going to hot point it over Ed Reed. That is what is going to happen here.
I'm not going to jam here.
Okay. Here we go. We got to go. Oh, nice. Take a break.
Oh! You did everything.
Oh, you interfered.
That was interference.
On
the defense?
Absolutely. How much time we got left?
On the defense? All right.
Come on.
We got to make this happen.
Pass interference.
Try to get it again?
Hey, he told me. I know how you operate.
This is amazing.
Go with the quick out, Rich.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. He means business now.
Oh, now he's coming.
Go.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
See,
what are we working?
Oh.
Yes!
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 Oh, that's it.
That's it.
Fantastic.
Two Hall of Famers.
By the way.
And I can say that.
I'm the only host that lays out like that. Normally I lay out for a soundbite, not a football.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Week 5, boys, in the NFL already.
Week 5.
Kicks off tonight. Bucks Falcons. Some great games ahead on the slate. One team that's on a winning streak right now. How about the Denver Broncos? Have won 2 games in a row. In at times interesting fashion, I think it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. Very impressive win down in Tampa last week against the Jets. Pouring rain, which I would imagine as a 40-year-old quarterback, the prospect of playing in just a driving rainstorm.
Miserable.
Not as good, right? Like as I get older, my willingness to do anything. Like I stepped out of the hotel this morning, which is about 6 blocks from here, and I felt a single raindrop.
Oh, what?
Hit my shoulder. I don't know exactly what it was, but I was like, do I need to take an Uber? And it's not strictly because of the hair.
Wow.
I'm thinking like, I don't, wow. If I have even just a few raindrops on my shoulders, it is going to ruin my entire day.
Raindrops.
Aaron Rodgers is out there for about 5 hours between the warm-ups and then playing the game in that driving rainstorm. I would think.
Miserable.
Doesn't go over that well. Let's bring in a guy who played in some bad weather in his day. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl MVP, Terrell Davis is with us right now on the show. You're looking good, man. You all right? How we doing there?
See, Tom, I don't need. I got to stop this game. So you see how the water would just drip off my head? I don't need to have a hat. I don't need an umbrella. I got an all-weather head. You can't get that hair wet, man.
You're very aerodynamic. You're definitely, yeah, you wick the water away. You watched that game, I'm sure, last week. Is this a running back's dream to watch a team win with 60 passing yards?
No, because, they ran the ball. See, a game like this, you got to run the ball like 40 times. Like, this is like a 40 carry day type of game right here, Tom. I think Javante had it 19 times. I think they, as a team, they probably carried it. I think maybe in the 30s. But yeah, this is one of those games where it's 40 times you run the ball, 200 yards in this one. But listen, you'll take a win any way you can get it, though. You take that win, you take it 10-9, you take it, 7-0, it doesn't matter. They came out of it with a win.
Well, everybody always talks about, you got to hold on to the ball, right? Ball security is big anytime you got, whether it's snow, rain, whatever. You see the fumbles. It's a lot easier said than done. Well, what's the key? You played in bad weather throughout your career. Like, in those conditions, what is the key to making sure that nobody can strip that ball out of your hands?
Well, the key is you have to practice it. So at practice, you got to find out what works for you, whether it's gloves or no gloves. whether it's sleeves or no sleeves, I always found, for me, if I had no sleeves, sometimes I would have to take my gloves off because I felt like I had more tact doing it that way. And then you just have to consciously be aware that in these conditions that they're going for the strip. You know, or you can, you know, the chance of fumbling the ball go up when the weather gets bad. So yeah, you got to be aware of that, man. Just squeeze the ball a lot harder. Make sure you're being focused on two hands on it when you go in traffic, and that normally works.
What do you make of these Broncos? Bo Nix, obviously, everybody's going to talk about, you know, the 60 passing yards. I think we've seen probably more athletic ability than a lot of people might have guessed we would with Bo Nix. He's doing a lot with his legs in addition to throwing it. What do you make of him 4 games into a rookie career, just that whole Broncos team as they get set to take on the Raiders this week?
Yeah, you just said it. It's 4 games, right? And I know we all want him to show and look like he's the 12th overall pick immediately. We want instant gratification. It's a process. It really is. And I try not to judge anybody until I see more of a sample size. But I will say this, though. You do watch and start. You want to see moments in a game or throws or something more consistently that looks like that 12th overall pick. So far, we haven't seen a lot of him. He does play well when they kind of go with a more hurried up offense, when he's allowed to just react. He seems to play well on that. But I think the big thing is that I feel like his teammates and the guys on offense trust him right now while he's back there. And they understand he's still young and still new. So I think they're starting to grow as an offense, and they believe in him right now. We'll see how that goes moving forward. But yeah, I think they like the young man, and he seems to be the guy for them. Now we'll see. Again, short-term concerns would be, you know, we haven't really seen him consistently look like that 12th overall pick. But again, it's still early in his career.
I'm also curious. So the Broncos are taking on the Raiders this week. Raiders have a situation going on right now with Davante Adams, who made clear in a conversation a couple of days ago with the team that he prefer to be traded. We know that Aaron Rodgers, both publicly and privately, has been recruiting him for a long time. You didn't play that long ago, okay? You played like 20 years ago. I feel like, though, this is a new phenomenon. I obviously, there wasn't social media. You didn't have to worry about Mike Shanahan accidentally liking a post on Instagram about your future. But has the mentality, has the power dynamic shifted to somebody who comes from just, again, not that long ago? How do you view the way that those player-team relationships have evolved?
It has changed, and it's changed the way you said it. When I played, if I had to get a message out, it was probably through my agent, or I had to go through somebody in the media. I had to tell somebody in the media, and then they would just put it out there. Now, if I had anything to say or a message to give to anybody, I can just tweet it. I can just put it on social media, and now it's out there. And my feelings and whatever I'm going through are instantly transferred to whatever whatever type of device that I need to put it on, and I can just spit it out there real quickly. And I think players do recognize now that they do have a bit of leverage when it comes to just complaining about things, because they do have followers. They have all these people they can just. They can say, "Hey, I want to be traded. I want to do whatever." And now you have all those people who are saying, "Okay, you know, he wants to be traded, so you know, so trade him." It's wild. We always talk about this. Like, I don't know if I would have been. I don't know how I would have acted back in the day if we had social media. I don't know. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. Because you hear a lot of things that you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear. And then your family hears it and they tell you about it. So it's definitely a different environment.
I mean, you have the classic, the cool down period before the media is allowed in the locker room after games, because guys need that 15 minutes. Well, guess what? You get ticked off about something, you grab your phone and tweet it. There's no cool down. Whatever emotions you're feeling, there's no real filter toward it. So that's definitely part of the dynamic as well. Terrell Davis is our guest here on behalf of Wells Fargo. Terrell's returning to his alma mater for homecoming week, teaming up with Wells Fargo to take part in a content series on financial education targeted towards student athletes. Tell me more about this this endeavor, Terrell.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, man, I'm doing this interview now, obviously, but later on tonight I'll be going back up to campus. I will be hosting a conversation with the Wells Fargo executive and the student athletes. We'll be talking about talking a lot about financial empowerment. This is basically this series started a couple of months ago when Rod Robinson, running back for Georgia, we did a series of content series that we kind of kicked things off with back then. And, you know, again, it just it's an awesome conversation we were having with him. And Rod Robinson, in case you didn't know, we went to the same high school, Lincoln High School in San Diego. So I've known from there. I kind of mentor him in everything in life. And so have been doing some financial education mentoring with him. So looking forward to seeing him again tonight. And then we'll be talking to the student athletes about the empowerment of NIL. You know, NIL is this the latest and greatest where athletes are allowed to sort of profit off their name, the image and likeness. And so how do you navigate that? How do you how do you find, you know, financially be empowered? How do you be responsible? How are you saving? So there's just a lot that goes with that. And Wells Fargo has done a great job of giving back to student athletes and with this program I have, this game plan. And man, it's just it's a lot of great things that's happening right now, and I'm pretty excited about that. I have learned and have knowledge in all facets of life, and I feel like one of the things that I enjoy doing is giving back to young people when I have experience and knowledge about something, so they can either, you know, take that and grow from it and not make the same mistakes. And that's always been something I really enjoy doing.
All right, I'm going to lean into this for you here. All right, for Wells Fargo, for bringing you here, Terrell. I'm curious. I want you to give me your five running backs in the NFL right now that you would take to the bank. All right, for Wells Fargo, who are the five running backs right now, the five guys you would trust more than any other you'd put on the field right now?
All right, let's go with Big Derrick Henry. Let's go with Derrick Henry, number one. Mm-hmm. And these are not in any particular order. I'll just give you my top five, right? I know Christian McCaffrey's out, but I'm going with Christian McCaffrey on my list. I like Alvin Kamara as another one. Let's go with Saquon as the other one. Who else? How many is that? Five? Four?
You got four. You can bring on one more here. You know, Bijan Robinson's a young guy with a lot of talent, though still hasn't had the productivity probably that some fantasy football players would like. Josh Jacobs, another top running back, potentially could be in there. Mixon's had a good start when he's been healthy. Who you got? We need one more here.
I know. One more running back. I'm trying to see you. You caught me off now because I want to see a list, man.
I wanted your knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, all right, we'll give you the top four. Top four. So who on that list of those? Derrick Henry, C-Mac, Kamara, Saquon. Who's the most like a young Terrell Davis, if any of them?
No, they're all got different skills than me. They definitely have different skills. And I always say that. If you looked at me as a running back, you wouldn't say like, "Hey, man, this guy is talented." Like, you wouldn't say anything like that because I didn't possess those type of skills where you look at it like you look at Alvin Kamara and you think, man, he runs like a gazelle. You know, he's got great stop-start abilities. You know, he's fast. Derrick Henry's big, powerful. Like, they have all these different qualities. Where I was just a football player masquerading as a running back, man. That was it. I was a good football player masquerading as a back. Those backs got a lot of good skills that I wish I possessed.
All right, last question for you, Terrell, and I think this is the most important question of the interview. Back in the 90s, when at the time Terrell Owens got to San Francisco, he decided that he wanted to be Terrell and pronounced the first syllable of the name. So for years, throughout history, it was always Terrell. Everybody was Terrell. Nobody saw your name and had any question about how to pronounce it. All of a sudden, there's a Terrell Owens who's also a really good NFL player. Did you ever confront him about messing up the pronunciation that people might have in their heads when they see your name forever? How do you feel about it?
Well, so I know he's from Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a, I always thought it was a Southern thing because there's a Terrell, Texas that's spelled the same way. And I always thought that that's the way they pronounced it in the South. So I had no beef with him. I had no beef. I actually liked the fact that his name was pronounced differently. But you say that he came into the league as Terrell.
Well, he let everybody call him Terrell. We see that sometimes where guys you have some success, you just let everybody say it wrong. And then you're like, hey, I'm a Pro Bowler. Now you're going to call me the right name.
That's the difference. The difference is he didn't tell you that. You started calling him Terrell.
It's true.
And he just finally said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm in respect. I'm a good player. Call me by my real name. So I respect that. No, I never warned him. No, he can stay Terrell. I like that. He can be Terrell.
Terrell, thank you very much. I almost just did it right there. That's how deep this thing goes. Thanks a lot for being here, man. Enjoy the Wells Fargo event. Always awesome talking to you.
Good to see you, Tom.
That is Terrell Davis with a mile high salute for all of us right there. This is a true story. So we're at the Reese's Senior Bowl last year. I'm the sideline reporter.
Yep.
It was the anniversary game. I believe it was the 75th anniversary game. So they brought back a lot of the legends of the game. And so there was like, hey, you know, Tom, can you go interview a few of these guys as they're coming off the field at various points, you know? And so one of them was Terrell Owens. So he comes up. And they're in the middle of something where they're like, I don't know if there was a different segment or doing plays, but he's waiting. And I'm sitting there going, I know this is probably not a guy that we want to keep waiting a long time. Yeah. But it was like, then it was, they go to break at the end of the drive and now we're waiting around. And I don't know if somebody said Terrell or if it was just something in his head, but I hear him. I get the 1 minute back in my ear. I'm like, all right, man, it's 1 minute back. And he goes, uh-huh. And then I hear him under his breath just go, Terrell. And I don't know if that was because he heard somebody else say Terrell near him or if it was because he was just planting the seed one more time. But there is still something there. Mm. He's Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens.
Every time I see, is it AJ Terrell or AJ Terrell? Is it Terrell Owens? Is it Terrell Davis? Terrell Davis. Every time. I'm very confident that I know for NFL players. But anytime you have like a new player comes in the league, I'm always like, let's take a step back here. How are we doing it? Would not exist without Terrell. Is there another Terrell? Do we have another Terrell in sports in general? I'm pretty sure it's all Terrell.
I don't.
There's got to be.
Think so?
I can't pick one off the top of the dome.
I was actually thinking because, you know, we had Keegan-Michael Key here a couple weeks ago doing the bit with the names. And I was trying to think, how would he pronounce your name, Tom? And I'm thinking, would it be like 2M? Palacero or something like that. You know what I mean?
It'd probably be like any of the number of ways I've been introduced over the years on various radio programs, TV Palacero. Shows. And I take no offense to it because there's plenty of times I get 10 seconds to the segment. I'm like, oh crap, how do we do it on this show?
Yeah.
There's some, you know, whatever, some writer or something that I haven't talked to before. I'm like, what is the pronunciation correctly here?
Oh yeah.
But every now and then it's hard to come back though. You start a radio interview and you know, we all have some level of ego to us, right?
Sure.
And so you go on the show and you're like, all right, I'm here. I'm going to deliver, you know, some really, they want me on because I'm giving them some really information, you know, really good information insight. They're like, all right, Tom Pelorusso's up here. what's going on? You're just like, do you have any idea? I'm not going to pull it. Don't you know who I am? But it's like, how am I on your show? If you don't know who I am,
someone get
why
your
am
ear.
I on the show? And people I really like, Tom Pelissero. No, that's close. No. Yeah. Very close. Not actually my name. I don't try to have like an ego about it. It's just more like, well, how am I on the show?
Why
if you
I
don't
here?
Have an idea
and
what
we,
my
you
name
know,
is.
We play that clip too in the TV breaks of John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell who are here. Will Ferrell, not Will Ferrell, right?
There you go. All right. But that's Ferrell. There's a bunch of Ferrells.
But it's spelled the same,
that's,
though, right?
As a first name, too. Ferrell, if you got...
Right.
It's Ferrell.
Ferrell.
But... Yeah, exactly. Go
but
on.
But it's like if you don't... You should know the person's name, but you're not quite positive, and you're just like, you... What's up, man?
There
Yo,
he is.
Bro, good to see you.
Okay, he was like, there he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like the tiger meme, like, big dog.
Big dog.
Like, what's up? Like, at least do that. Even on a show.
Do you ever take a shot? Like, what's the percentage in your mind where you're willing to run the risk that you're wrong? Because I'm at this point.
Zero.
In like
I got to be 100% sure.
I'll sometimes let it fly at like 99%. but I might sort of mumble the name the first time.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Yeah. I'm pretty good at remembering names. It's just something I don't know why, but there are times where I'm not sure. So I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing, dog? I gotta say,
I'm just banking that they're not listening. I do that with basically all of my neighbors. Where it's just like, hey, good to see you. Good morning.
Oh, absolutely.
And they say, hey, Chris, good to see you. Have a great day. And I'm just like, you too, brother. Good to see you. Have a great day. See you out there.
This is funny, Tom, because I started doing this back in the day when I couldn't remember someone's name. Just me and my friends. We just start calling everybody Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's up, Joe? And to this day, I'll just like, I remember I said that to Rich one day and he kind of looked at me. I just called people Joe and that's how I would address you.
Sometimes I'll go, thanks, G. Like, I'll just call him a G.
But that, then they think you think his name is George or something.
Or
right?
I just, you know, I'm calling him a gangster or something, you know?
I guess. What's the deepest into a conversation you're willing to get while still playing 20 questions to figure out the person's who the person is, much less their name?
And they obviously know you, right?
So like, all right, take the Senior Bowl, for instance. Yeah. Every agent in the world is down there. And you're on the streets of Mobile, Alabama.
Yep.
May or may not have been in the haberdasher for a drink or three. And somebody will come up who, there'll be people who come up to me who I absolutely have no clue. There is nothing about them. They're not wearing any logoed clothing. Right. They don't have a familiar face. They'll be like, Tom, what's going on?
Yeah, but you understand why that is.
Well, right. No, I get the different dynamics. Yeah, they see me every day. They think it's like when you see people on Facebook. Or when you see your people on Facebook, you're like, hey, how are your kids doing? It's right. Like, I haven't seen you in 20 years. you don't know about my kids. Right. Because I post my entire life on social media. Because that's how I try to feel good about my life. But I will have lengthy conversations where I'm like, hey, so what's going on? Yeah, oh yeah, no, totally. So like, what's going on with your guys here?
Right.
You know, it's like you try to drill it down. I've gotten 15 questions into a conversation before I went, oh,
I got it now.
Justin, it's you. There are tons of times of that.
Dolores.
But there is, but if I'm not 100% though, it's like, it's just not worth it.
It's not worth the risk. Cause then they're like, oh, but then you kind of have to have the face and the eyes going. So they're convinced that you know who they are. You don't want to out yourself with your facial expressions.
There's definitely an aspect of that too. How long do you go if someone gets your name wrong? How many opportunities do you give them? If they say your name wrong, they look at you right dead in the eyes and they go, Mike, what's happening?
I get that a lot just because of initials. So I'm always usually cool if somebody's like gives me like sometimes they might give me a PJ.
What does TJ stand for?
Too Jiggy. Everybody knows that.
What is your actual name?
Too Jiggy.
You're not going to tell us your name?
Nah, I don't tell nobody nothing, man.
You're ridiculous.
So anybody who's searching public records on TJ can find them.
Shot again? It's right there on my Price is Right sticker. It's Temujin.
It is. I'm sorry.
Temujin.
Temujin.
That's my man right there.
See, and now next time when he asks me, when I see you next Tuesday, and you go, what's my name?
You'll be
and
like,
I'll go, what's
name?
Up, T?
Yeah,
my name is.
No one could pronounce it when I was little, so we went with TJ.
Well, that's a logical reason to do it, right? Is you have a name. My oldest daughter's name is Tegan, but it's spelled T-E-G-A-N. So not only can you have a mistake on the spelling, but you get a lot of Tegan, right?
I don't get that one. Tegan should be Tegan. There's nobody named Tegan.
Yeah, but then Tegan a lot of times is T-E-A-G-A-N.
Oh.
For me, I don't have... I mean, everybody knows it's Tom.
Tom.
I thought back in the day, like when Tom Brenneman was coming up, you know, at Fox and he had the T-H-O-M.
Mm-hmm.
There was part of me that was going, should I like spell Tom with two M's?
I would have.
Just to disambiguate. Yeah. I had a roommate. I was in a three-person dorm my freshman year of college where nobody knows anybody.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
At Boston College. We'll have head coach Bill O'Brien coming on in a little bit here. But one of the two guys I lived with was named Tom.
Oh, so you had two Toms.
She had two Toms and a trip in one three-man thing. One P on trip.
You're in a triple
with a guy named Trip.
Tom, and Trip.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay.
Now, Tom got ejected from the room after like 2 days because he was in ROTC and woke up at 4 a.m. blasting Rammstein and doing sit-ups on the floor. That was the end.
And you're like, bro, what are we doing?
We traded him for a guy named Chris down the hall, which did help the whole initial thing.
How does dorm room transfer and trading?
I believe it was Tripp's mom who went, this guy's a little, there's something not quite right here. We need to trade him out for somebody down the hall.
Yeah, okay.
Tripp's mom's name was Karen, ironically enough.
No, she was. Yeah, she was in charge.
I'm kidding.
At that time,
same thing. Freshman year at Syracuse, we knew about 8 different Chris's, so everyone had it. There was like VA Chris and Buffalo Chris, and
right.
everyone had kind of a tag to their name.
So right, and the college is also an easy. It's fertile ground for nicknames too.
Yep.
Right, like everybody just you know. And a friend I just called Beaker once, and then that became his name forever. And he looked a lot like Beaker.
That's how it works.
Like it was a solid one. He went as Beaker from Sesame Street for Halloween once.
Why wouldn't
but
he?
But it's like, once you say that, it's just like, that's him.
That's your name, yeah.
One kid who refunded some of his Busch Lights on a Friday night got called Boots. Game Boots. For 4 years.
Well, it's terrible when you Busch get a nickname. Light.
Oh, my
you get
God.
A nickname when you're like 11, and then somehow that sticks with you. We had a kid we used to call Toe Jam. Like, we didn't know that was bad when we were 12. But
that's unfortunate.
You get to be 15, it's like, oh, sorry about that.
The Texans wide receiver, Nathaniel Dell, got nicknamed Tank when
That's
he was
hard,
like two
bro.
Years old because he had an enormous head.
That's
I've
hard.
Seen a photo. I got his agent or his parents sent me a photo of mm-hmm. him. Big head.
Big head.
Definitely a big head. Now he's like a smallish guy.
Big
he's
head.
Like 5'10 and 160.
It says 5'8.
5'8, 160 pounds.
And now in your
pounds,
tank, it's
and
like,
his name is Tank.
It's like you call the big guy tiny.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it's memorable,
yeah.
but not necessarily fitting. But it's all because he had an enormous head when he was a small child.
I love it.
Where is A-A-Ron right now?
Exactly.
Texans.
Ladidi.
Big game.
Ladidi.
Big game this weekend. Yeah. Texans and Bills. It is Stephon Diggs going against his old team. Let's get into that after this, because Diggs talked about it this week. Josh Allen talked about it. Just one of the revenge games we've got in the NFL. So let's take a quick break here. More on week 5 in the NFL, which kicks off tonight right after this on the Rich Eisen List Show.
Let's talk Omaha Steaks, people. I love grilling steaks at home, and so does Susie. We just love steaks in our household. We also love going to steakhouses. Nothing like it. You walk in the door, you smell of steaks from the kitchen. It's awesome. Omaha Steaks is like having the steakhouse in your house. Omaha Steaks is America's original butcher and has been bringing people together with the world's best steak experience for more than 100 years. We love grilling with Omaha Steaks because it's grass-fed, grain-finished beef, hand-selected for superior marbling and taste. Thus, we love serving it to our kids. We have no problem with it. Perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Bring home the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And for an extra $30 off, use my code EISEN. Minimum purchase may apply. Visit omahasteaks.com for details. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with my code EISEN. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Good to see you, gentlemen, right here.
Very much. Very much good to see you, too, Rich.
Yeah, right back at you. Yeah.
Great to see everyone.
Well,
not just you, Rich.
I have a friend who, when he sees someone coming towards him, like in a room that he's supposed to know, he can tell, I'm supposed to know this person, but I don't. Mm-hmm. He goes, There he is. There he is.
How are you as a ref, though?
Strictly what's called an AR, assistant referee. So I'm the guy who runs on the sideline with the flag.
I thought AR meant asshole ref.
Well, that's what...
The shorts are pretty short, too. I mean, they're stocked in length right there.
Look at that ample thigh.
That's a ham hock right there.
Look at that. That's ready for market.
So
you might want to smoke that for a couple days.
You guys want a slice?
Put some hickory around it. You know what I would genuinely love for you as a second career, if you ever decided you wanted a second career? Finally be a broadcaster. Be someone who's calling color. Right?
Rich, maybe you could give me a break.
I mean, that would boost ratings for whatever sport you were talking about.
What if
about?
I took over the Rich Eisen show? Yes. Ron Burgundy did help announce the national curling finals in Ottawa, Canada. And they had all these ads for Tim Hortons Coffee, which is a big coffee chain for our Canadian listeners. And I just kept saying, all the signage, I'm like, who the hell is Tim Horton? Who does he think he is?
Is there any possibility that we see a Step Brothers sequel?
We haven't never talked about this face-to-face in public.
No, we haven't.
So let's break some ground here. Are we going to do Step Brothers too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Put up the Photoshop anyway.
Aww, you make sense in that world somehow, Rich.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Just got done with talking with Terrell Davis and then having a lengthy, unprompted, unnecessary discussion about pronunciation of names. Broncos take on the Raiders this week. We'll get to Devontae Adams at the top of the next hour. There's a lot of layers of this that I want to peel back because we're in a... This is one of those stories that's like it's isolated because we're a month out from the trade deadline. It's the only big name that's like in an active trade scenario. And so we are 700 different conflicting reports deep already over the past several days of what's actually happening, what's actually possible. I will try my best to unpack it at the top of the next hour. Bill O'Brien also going to join us here shortly, head football coach Boston College, obviously won a lot of games in the NFL as well. But let's start here talking about week five in the NFL, and specifically a Bills-Texans game that I think when the schedule came out, the NFL did a good job, and a very intentional job, mind you, of front-loading a lot of these interesting matchups in the season. If you notice, like, we've gotten a lot of really good games and the notable storylines early in the season.
Oh, yeah.
That is driven in part by the fact that it's an election year. You want to have those marquee matchups up front because history suggests that in the early portions of the season, people might be turning over to a debate. They might be turning to watch political coverage and other things. The TV ratings would indicate that that has been successful, that they have been very successful in terms of being able to push those games up front. Bills Texans is definitely one of those in week five, not just because you've got two of the top teams, or at least two of the teams that are viewed as AFC contenders, as two of the threats to the Kansas City Chiefs. Bills coming off of a not great performance in week four against the Ravens. Texans bounced back last week after a not great performance that I was at in week three in Minnesota, where they looked disjointed on both sides of the ball. Sometimes there's those games, you run into a buzzsaw, it all gets away from you. That was one of those types of games. But this is also notable because this is Stephon Diggs going up against the Bills. And I talked to Diggs before that game in Minnesota. He was all smiles before the game. Even after they got absolutely boat raced by Minnesota, he was still all smiles after the game, saying hi to, you know, support people and former teammates and people he knew. And I'm not saying that he won't be that way this week. But I know Stephon Diggs well enough to know there's something extra for him on Sunday. He's not even, I mean, let's be fair, he's not even the top threat, the number one guy that teams are fearing on his own receiving core right now. That's Nico Collins.
Yeah.
How weird is that too?
Is there a quieter superstar in the NFL than Nico Collins?
I couldn't tell you. I've never heard his voice.
Yeah. No idea what he sounds like.
I talked to him on the phone before the week three game against Minnesota. Very nice, unassuming, smart dude.
Could have been anyone. You don't know what he sounds like.
That's actually a great point. I was speaking to Pico Collins, his stunt double. who gave me a bunch of quotes that I may or may not have used. But with Nico Collins, we had Jalen Petrie on the Insiders yesterday, and he made the point. He's like, sometimes like those long strides are deceiving. He's actually faster than you think. Hmm. There might be something to that where you don't think of Nico Collins as a burner, but you watch him play and he can make things happen all over the field. Diggs, while still a really good player, he's still a difference maker on a team, but realistically, he's probably a two at this stage in his career and certainly on his own team. But Diggs practices so hard. He puts so much into it. I would anticipate this is a week where Stephon Diggs wants to come out and absolutely have a vintage Stephon Diggs game. And I would anticipate if the Texans coaching staff, which is really smart, led by D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, they're going to find ways to make sure that Diggs is involved in this game. I go back to 2010 when that was the season, as you remember well, Brockman, that the Patriots traded Randy Moss to the Vikings. That trade happened right about now.
Get your 84 jerseys out.
It was get your 84 jerseys out. I was at that press conference. That was the highlight of the Randy Moss return.
Yeah, he was terrible. And then it ended up going to the Titans later that year, right?
He did end up, yes. After he got released by the Vikings, he ended up on the Titans. But so they traded him. It was late September, early October. It was right about this time of year. He has that press conference. First game was a Monday night game against the Jets, in which that was when there was a bunch of stuff coming out about Brett Favre and various photos that he may or may not have sent to a Jets employee. That was a big tabloid story that week. It was the game was delayed.
Same week?
It was the same week. Lightning delayed the game for a long period of time. The very first play was a Randy Moss end around, and he threw it to Favre, except Favre wasn't an eligible receiver on the play, and it got called back. This was like, this whole thing was teetering. So we get to, I think it was week 8. It was a Vikings-Patriots game. And they go, so this is Moss going back like 24 days or so after he got traded. And you can correct me, Brockman, if I'm wrong on any of the timeline here. So they go back.
It was week 8, yes.
Week 8. I'm at that game in Foxborough. And it's, you know, listen, this is Randy going back. He had been telling the coaching staff all week, hey, this is what Belichick's going to do to me. Here's how we can get around it. So Belichick, knowing that he can create a ticking time bomb on the Vikings sideline, even though this is not the Randy Moss of 2007 at this point, this is a Randy Moss who wanted a new contract. He publicly said that early in the season. Bill said, thank you very much. We're going to move you to Minnesota, which only traded for him because they lost Sidney Rice in training camp that year.
Right.
So it's Moss going back. This is obviously a big deal because he respects Bill so much. He wants to show out. Bill puts a safety over the top of him the entire game. And when I say a safety over the top, I'm not talking just like strict cover two. I'm talking about the corner is here and the safety is here. And they are doubling him every snap. And sure enough, I want to say he had like one or two catches in that game.
He had one catch for 8 yards.
One catch for 8 yards in that game. And sure enough, Randy's losing it on the sideline. He walks into the locker room and basically tells the owners, like, you got to get rid of these coaches. They don't listen to me. Goes to we're in the locker room. Okay. We're all gathered around.
Do you know that that's what Randy told the coaching staff that Bill was going to do?
He told the coaches during the week, like, this is like how I think they're going to approach me. Here's some ways we can get around it. We're going to get me the football. But Bill doubled him the entire game. Wasn't concerned about anybody else on the field. So we're all gathered around Randy's locker. Randy would normally, if he was going to talk, which wasn't always a given, he would talk at his locker after the game. And he turns to Tom West, the longtime Vikings PR guy, goes, Tom, I'm going to the podium. And Tom West, who doesn't react to much, just kind of went like this and was like, okay. So we all go into the podium. Moss goes to the podium and delivers a soliloquy about how much he loves Bill Belichick and he's the greatest coach of all time. Then this is the same week he got fined for not talking to the media. So he's saying something along the lines of what's, you know, 25 grand, you know, which I don't really care. I talk to who I want to talk to. But he basically just says, like, this guy's a way better coach than our coaches. Mm. Doesn't get on the plane back with the team. The next day, Brad Childress cuts him, which Chili told me years later was like his number one regret because he won a lot of games. Brad Childress won a lot of games over his 5 years in Minnesota, but he didn't tell the Wilfs, the owners, before cutting Randy Moss. That did not go over well, and Brad got fired about a month later. Oh. But all this is to say, whatever might be said, let's hear for a second here. Let's start with C.J. Stroud. Here's what he had to say about Stephon Diggs going against his old team.
I think he got a bad rap, you know, just by the media and, like, by people. But, man, he's not been nothing but just amazing to this team. And, to his teammates. He's helped me out a ton, and you know, as you can see, we're clicking more and more every game. So, you know, I'm very happy for him, and you know, I'm glad that you know he's finally you know having fun playing the game, and you know, doing what he loves to do because he loves football a lot. So, you know, just really, really happy to be you know a part of his journey, and like just being around him has been real awesome.
Okay, and then Stephon Diggs also talked at his locker, not at the podium. Talked at his locker this week. He's never one to kind of feed in the public remarks, but here's what Stephon Diggs had to say about this match.
Obviously, when you go to a new team, this is my third time or second time going to a new team, so you don't never know what to expect and what kind of guys you'll be around. But obviously, I have a little bit of a rapport with CJ prior to, and it's easy to get a bad rap. You know, world travels fast, but you know when you get to a place and people get to know you, they kind of get to gauge you for their own personal and their interaction with you, and things usually turn the corner when I get somewhere else. It's usually be smiles and a lot of positive stuff. So I just take it with a grain of salt. I got big shoulders. I can take it.
Stephon Diggs got a lot of balls. He gets targeted a lot, had a lot of productivity in Buffalo. Whatever he's smiling and saying right there, I am just telling you, it is burning deep down inside him. This is a game that matters even more than all the other ones do to that guy right there. And we'll see.
We'll see
how the Bills try to defend him here. Because again, if you're breaking down, you know, every practice, right, in the NFL, like you put the red jerseys on with, a lot of teams use that with the number of the player you're playing, okay? I would say most teams are going to have that red jersey on the guy from the scout team playing Nico Collins. That's kind of where it starts. If Joe Mixon's playing, quite possibly because of how they're using him in the run in the pass game. He's been out the last couple games with an ankle. We'll see whether he potentially can progress and play on Sunday. That's probably the next guy that you're putting it on. And then it's Diggs. You know that Sean McDermott is going to have a plan for how they're going to handle this guy. You know that they're going to be conscientious of the fact that you might, and again, the Texans are going to play to win this game. That's what matters here. But you might, in these situations, just knowing the juice it will give the Diggs, the juice it will give to the team, you might try to find a way to scheme something up and make sure that you get that guy going. He's not, I don't believe, going to be a Randy Moss-level ticking time bomb. I do think that this game is going to matter a whole lot to Stephon Diggs. Because basically, whether they said it or not, they opted for, we can get by with, you know, Khalil Shakir, and we'll draft one, and we'll throw the ball to Dalton Kincaid, and we'll sign Mac Hollins and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. We think that we can have success doing this. First 3 weeks of the season sure looked like they were right. Last week, not quite as good.
Not so much.
But this is going to be a fun game to watch in week five. Also be fun to see what happens with Devontae Adams in the coming days here. Let's dive deep in the Adam situation right after this on The Rich Eisen Show.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.